Communication, teamwork, critical thinking, emotional intelligence, they're all soft skills, and according to a recent Deloitte report, they're increasingly sought after. But how do you measure, account, or prove that you've got soft skills to potential employers? Well, Deakin Co. at Deakin University is one of a number of training and education providers meeting this challenge by offering micro-credentials. To tell us more about how micro-credentialing works and to discuss the Deloitte Soft Skills for Business Success report, here's Simon Hahn, Chief Executive at Deakin Co.
I suppose the background for the report and the work we did with Deloitte was around the increasing conversation around the future of work and what are the skills for jobs of the future going to look like. You know, some big predictions, some bold predictions perhaps around, you know, within 8 years, 5 million of the current jobs in Australia will be replaced as a result of the impact of automation. So that's something like nearly 40% of the jobs. And I emphasise the word being replaced because new jobs will come to replace those. But what the research is showing us is that increasingly they are going to become more soft skill intensive than what has been the case in the past. And so this focus on increasing our capability or our soft skills, if you like, is becoming a business imperative around where jobs of the future and the skills that we're going to need for those jobs are taking us.
How do we rate in Australia internationally on that, on any kind of index?
Yeah, look, pretty good comparably. Again, one of the challenges is that globally we're not particularly good at listing or measuring our soft skills, but certainly the global comparisons are quite strong. One of the contributors to the report was LinkedIn, who, as you'd appreciate, has a whole range of data around people's skills and their jobs. And interestingly, you might be familiar with listing your skills or your capabilities on your profile in LinkedIn. Only about 1% of us in Australia actually list soft skills as a skill we have, but that's actually 3 or 4 times better than what the global average is.
The thing that emerges, though, is that there is a shortage, that there's a gap between the amount of soft skill capability that employers and recruiters are looking for and what we seem to have.
Yeah, one of the interesting pieces that we looked at was we had job ad data from a group called Workable, and we had them analyse the soft skills that were being asked for in job ads, if you like, and then matching that up against the soft skills that were being listed in resumes, if you like, for people that were applying for those jobs. And there was a 40% gap between the demand for soft skills, if you like, and the supply as people felt comfortable listing those in their resumes.
And this is across the board, as I understand it, Simon. It's from entry level right up to leadership level.
That's correct. And in particular, employers talk about trying to find graduates, if you like, that are employable or employer ready. And there's about a 25% gap between people being able to find the people they need with those skills.
That is very disconcerting, isn't it? Okay, so what effect is this going to have if we don't do something about it?
The challenge is that it starts to create this divide, I suppose, with people that are moving into this future of work or these skills. We're going to see that, I suppose, what they call the shelf life of jobs and skills starts to shorten and reduce as jobs become automated. And a critical part of having those soft skills is becoming a lot more portable in terms of moving from job or organisation to organisation. And the soft skills are inherently transferable across industries and across jobs. So, if you like, it will restrict the portability, and it'll certainly restrict organisations' ability to be able to execute on the the performance objectives that they have.
You're right about how portable this skill set is. If you think about it, critical thinking, communication, ability to be in work well in a team, having some emotional intelligence, there almost isn't a sector, especially a sector that's embracing newer technologies, that doesn't want that.
And that's exactly right. I mean, one of the really interesting case studies that's coming out of the US is with the company AT&T, long-standing historic, telephony provider, the Telstra of the US. They have identified what type of business they want to be to survive in the future, and they've made pretty considerable investments in cloud-based businesses, but had a look at their workforce and identified the skills they're going to need in 5 years and 10 years' time to successfully operate and thrive. And they had a massive gap between the skills in their current workforce and what they identified as what they'd need in the future. They then went to look could they hire those people? Could they find them in the market? And like a lot of employers, going to market to hire for those skills is not a solution. There's not the people there. So they took a deliberate strategy, if you like, to say, okay, well, let's look at how do we retrain our existing workforce, identify and enable them, if you like, to take ownership around developing those skills to help for the jobs of the future, if you like, or the skills of the future that AT&T had identified that they needed.
How successful has that program been?
It's an emerging case study. It's certainly one I know that a lot of organisations in Australia are looking at. And where it's a little bit different is it's sort of flipped the responsibility for skill development. So whereas historically we've always relied on schools and universities and TAFEs and our employers to tell us and help us develop the skills that are required, what we're seeing is a shift now where increasingly individuals need to take responsibility for the development of the skills they need, either for the jobs they're currently in or the jobs they'd like to be in the future. And the role of the employer, and indeed probably training and educational institutions, becomes how do we support people to go on that journey of sort of self-empowered learning or taking responsibility for developing the skills that are going to be required for jobs of the future.
But Simon, we seem to be a long way from that at the moment. I mean, what the report makes clear is that even job applicants, people looking around to do something else, are underreporting or underselling the soft skills they have.
Yeah, and then therein lies, I think, probably the fundamental challenge. Whilst we have a system that's very good in recording technical ability, if you like, so degrees and qualifications, certifications always typically focus on the technical skill or the discipline or the profession, if you like, and don't inherently measure or recognise the soft skills. So what we need to develop, and we're starting to see this emerge through a thing called micro-credentials, is the ability to start to measure and recognise. And so to go back to that challenge around the gap in supply between soft skills that employers are looking for, but that employees feel comfortable to claim, that they actually have a measurement or an evidence piece that gives them the confidence to claim and have that measured, if you like.
At the other end of it, of course, you've got people who say, well, yeah, I've got these terrific soft skills, but there's no real way to test that at the moment. An interview doesn't necessarily test it. You actually have to put them in the environment and see how they go.
And it, absolutely. And you know, we talk about the cost of recruitment in the report, around $11 billion a year. But we all know what a haphazard approach that can be to getting the right person can be very hit and miss. So one of the solutions that, as I said, is emerging is this concept of micro-credentials. In the case of Deakin Co, we're looking at how we measure capability based on evidence that people show us from what they can produce and do in the workforce. So I think what we're starting to see around micro-credentials is this emergence of an ability to measure, objectively measure these soft skills and capabilities, and not just, you know, whether you can communicate, but at what level can you communicate at an advanced level, say a master's type person that might have been in the workforce for 10 or 15 years or you know, at a lower level where you might be earlier placed in your career.
Simon, I need to backtrack a bit because I don't know what micro-credentials are.
Sure. So credentials, if you like, in the broader sense, are essentially a warranty or a guarantee by an organisation that someone has attained a certain skill or knowledge. So the classic example, if you like, is a university qualification, whether that's a bachelor's degree or perhaps from a TAFE, a diploma or a certificate for. The challenge with those is that they're big. They are a point in time. So, for example, I did a law degree, you know, nearly 25 years ago. I practiced as a lawyer for you know, 7 or 8 years, and then completely changed industry and vocation. And so that law degree doesn't tell you anything about my ability, you know, 20 years later, if you like, in terms of what type of CEO I am. So the credential, if you like, or the big qualification is now being reduced in size, and hence the term micro-credentialing. So what we're looking to do is get a lot more granular around measuring people's capability at a point in time. So looking at, can someone communicate? Can they problem solve? Can they think critically? And so we're now able to sort of distill that and measure that and provide this little mini qualification or micro-credential, as they're called, to help with that measurement and providing people that confidence that we talked about to claim they have those skills.
That's going to open up a new emerging field of qualification and certification, isn't it? Because at the moment, if you say to me, well, I've got this law degree from this university, I know what that means, more or less. Micro-credentials, they're a whole new field.
Yeah, and there's a massive market education piece, if you like, to that micro-credential. And I suppose in the way that many industries have been disrupted, higher education is facing a similar challenge. And typically where industries are disrupted, things become more granular. If you think about musics and iTunes and albums coming down to songs and those types of things. So the education piece, to some degree, is employers recognising, and I suppose this is at the essence of the report with Deloitte, the importance of being able to measure and recognise soft skills, and that will then create this new currency. So the currency we have is existing degrees and postgrad qualifications. This new currency of micro-credentials will give us a much more granular look, but I suppose a view based more on what the workplace or the workforce wants to see, and particularly around this increasingly important area of soft skills and visibility around where they sit.
Bit of work to be done on things like what the standards are and what the certifications should mean, though.
Absolutely, and but to the same extent that the market now understands and recognises that an MBA from a, you know, perhaps from a what's regarded as an A grade institution versus a Bachelor of Commerce from somewhere else has different reputational and different perceptions in the workforce. But yeah, no, a lot of work to do to educate both employers and the individuals around the value that these micro credentials have.
All right, for someone listening now, thinks they've already got pretty decent soft skills, is looking around. What's your advice?
Is to look at this emerging opportunity around micro-credential. As I said, Deakin Co. has a current offer that's up and running that you can come to us and we will recognise an issue with a micro-credential, and that micro-credential is in the form of a digital badge that you can then represent, you know, through your LinkedIn profile, and that links back and describes, I suppose, the data around why that assessment was or why that credential was issued and who it was issued by. So providing some credibility. But we're one of many micro-credentialing systems that's starting to emerge. You may be familiar with the concept of the MOOCs, the massive open online courses, mm-hmm. and all these available training and development that you can now do through a lot of really reputable universities globally. A lot of them are now starting to build in credentials into those programs, so that you can come away from that learning with a credential that recognises what you learnt through that program.
It's relatively straightforward to teach somebody who's got numeracy skills accounting or the beginnings of it. It's a bit more complicated to teach someone emotional intelligence.
Yes, no, and I think that's what you've got to be careful. Some would say emotional intelligence is inherent and there's not a lot you can do to necessarily train or develop. We tend to talk in the context of emotional judgment, and without sort of being, you know, creating semantics around it, emotional judgment is something that you can train and help people with techniques around, if you like. And a lot of that, I think, can come back to, you know, so much of what we learn in the workplace through our own personal experiences, through what we learn from our managers or coaches, and I think it's that workplace learning, the learning that happens in the workplace is where a lot of these soft skills are actually developed and honed, and ultimately, you know, that's where you see the evidence around the soft skill capability coming from.
Couldn't agree more. It's a fascinating area, Simon, and something I think we'll hear more and more about. Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Simon Hahn, CEO of Deakin Co. at Deakin University, and you'll find a link to the Deloitte report that he discussed on the Best Practice homepage at abc.net.au/rn.